I love bel canto, and I think we need to continue to have a really quality bel canto opera every now and then. And Donizetti with his three Queen operas, I think, really hit the jackpot. And I find Mary Queen of Scots probably the most musical of all of them. It just runs from melody to melody to melody. It's only been heard once in the United States on this coast, and this will be the second West Coast performance of the opera, and I think it's good to keep it out in front.
She says, foul, impure daughter of Anne Boleyn, feeling for di Bolena. Okay, so, you know, this is, of course, what the rumour was, that she's illegitimate, that Elizabeth is illegitimate, therefore has no claim to the throne. All right?
That's why she's a bastard. Ooh.
Absolutely. Parli tu di disonore. You speak of dishonour.
Out of the cast, I'm the one that's actually worked on a production of Mary Queen of Scots before. It was titled Mary Stuart, and it was done in English at English National Opera, and I fell in love with it. I never thought I would get a chance to direct it, because it's done very, very rarely.
Vil bastarda, vile bastard by your foot. Okay, so that's pretty hot stuff.
But it actually does have fantastic dramatic situations for a director. When you're doing something that is so historically based, the problem is that it's difficult to decide when to stop thinking of it historically and when to start thinking of it purely theatrically. Whereas in other pieces, while you might have a little bit of background, a novel, for instance, like the Scène de la Vie de Bohème for La Bohème, it provides us with a lot of very interesting information. But it's not something that's absolutely going to ground us in one area. One gets so involved in the story of Mary Stuart and Elizabeth, and of course it depends who you read. Whose side you come down on, and it's inevitable that probably one does. And it's a matter of saying, right, I'm going to take this bit and try and pursue that side of it in the character, as much as it's written in the libretto and in the music.
She goes hysterical in a triumphant way. It's like, I know I'm going to be executed, but you know, it was worth it. And you know, and they say, you've offended Elizabeth. That is it. She's now working out some really dreadful fate for you.
One of the enjoyable things is the research you do for this sort of project, because you've got such a wide range, a wider range than you would have probably with any other opera. And I've read books on Elizabeth, I've read books on Mary, I've read books on Elizabeth and Leicester, and tried to sort of balance it a little bit, tried to make Elizabeth three-dimensional, tried to make Mary more than just the martyr, but also not vilifying her either. I mean, both these women were a victim of the times, and unusual in that they were reigning queens in a predominantly male world.
No one thinks of themselves as a victim of their time.
And especially not these women.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they were queens. I think it's very important that we think of ourselves as queens and that we're masters of our own destiny as much as we possibly can be.
And our ambition to survive is kind of the more...
Yeah, and it doesn't really matter if circumstances affected us. somehow for us to play the characters, I think it's really important that we focus in on this idea that we're living as those, as queens and as masters of our own destiny.
I think a lot of Elizabeth's issue is that she didn't want to marry because she didn't want to lose her freedom and her power that she had as kind of the absolute leader in England. If she married, she would have to answer to a husband, and I think that that definitely had a lot to do with everything that played out eventually.
But I think we would regard Mary in the exact same fashion now as people regarded her then. I mean, if someone of our own generation now married the man that we thought murdered their husband 2 weeks later, you can't tell me that we wouldn't all have something to say and we wouldn't damn them in the media and the press and the whole thing. So in that way, they were just the same as us, except they were queens.
It was kind of a sink or swim situation. And I think in that sense, they were victims of the circumstance just because they had no choice but to try and, you know, grab on to, you know, push someone else underwater so that they could stay floating.
I kind of wish Mary thought a bit more like that. I don't think she ever did. I think she totally, most of the time, she pleased her own impulses. Mm. And Elizabeth was absolutely the opposite. She sacrificed her own needs and emotions and feelings like that and thus became this great, great ruler. As I said, I wish Mary had done it, because then maybe she wouldn't have ended up on the block. I don't know. Everyone that knows anything about Maria Stuart is like, have you heard this person's confrontation scene? Have you heard this person? Like, they're like these little snippets of every person that sang this, their confrontation scene, which is unheard of. I mean, what, it's a one page of chest-voiced soprano. Like, who usually cares about that? But in this specific way, they do, because of what she says and where it happens.
And how she says it.
And how she says it, you know.
Figlia impura di Bolera.
Oddio.
Parli tu di disonore. Meretrice indegna o sciara. In te cada il mio rossore.
Absolutely.
Let me get to her. Well, at that moment, it's a good thing he's in the way, because the smoldering that I'm having to do over the course of however many pages, really, you really get into it. And like when I turn to go at her, like I'm going with full force. He has to really physically stop me. And he's singing while he's doing that. And I always hear his voice go, because I crash right into him. So.
We have to play what is in the libretto to a certain degree, but we have to look and see if there's another way we might play it. If we can put another tilt on it, for instance. What we're trying to do in this production is to play it as a political intrigue.
Che la tradirò, tu dirò.
I'm there whenever the Queen is, almost all the time. I'm her eyes, her ears, sometimes her spokesman. I'm always looking out for who's there, who could be dangerous to her, who could be in favour of her. And I am there to defend her at all times. So I'm there as her kind of secretary, as her sidekick. And I believe myself to be indispensable, and I believe myself to wish to know better than her. But I have to know how to handle her. I have to know when it's time to be deferential and when it's time to, as you would say in England, in Liverpool, near where I come from, time to stick the boot in. The moment I'm enjoying most at the moment is the famous insult from Mary when she calls her calls Elizabeth the daughter of a whore and a royal bastard and all those things. I'm the only person on stage who's actually pleased, because it's as if she's playing into my hands, and my feeling is, thank you. Now that's going to make my job a whole heap easier. I don't have to convince anybody that you're a danger. Thank you, yes, you are toast, lady. Enjoy your last few minutes. And I think it brings up really nasty feelings in me, which the great thing about thinking evil thoughts on stage is you can leave stage and be nice to everybody.
Lester is a guy who wants to be around with women. So, and that's why he's trying to be nice with Elizabeth, and he's trying to help also Maria. And so that's I compare him with Yevgeny Onegin. He's the same kind of role. And for me, it's difficult to play it because he gives all these promises to Maria that he will free him, Lester will free Maria, and if not, he will die with her. But the very end is, he can't do anything, and he is not helping, and he can't free her. So it's difficult to make this character, because all the time he is playing, like with Elizabeth, he's playing that he is with her, but he's thinking about Maria, and it's difficult play, it's difficult character. I like the duet with Elizabeth. Music is very beautiful. I like it very much. Every time I'm singing it, I'm enjoying, because it's so beautiful. And I'm surprised why the companies, they're not doing this opera very often.
Oh, bases in general have mostly the roles of the father figures or the priests or kings. In this case, he's an earl as well, like Cecil as well, but he is connected and somehow adores Maria and tries to help her out. And so that's the reason why he is also a fatherly figure and almost like a priest again. He's not a priest, definitely not. He acts as one because she doesn't want to have a priest, which Cecil offers her. So Talbot is, instead of another priest, is there to pray with her. Mainly he is a friend. He's a good friend of Maria, and Maria trusts him. And that's very important, because at that time she couldn't trust anybody anymore.
This is our Scottish Queen, and it's the beginning of an end. Okay. Although she had in her room, she had something that said, "In the end, in my end is my beginning." Okay. But this is for you, the beginning with the Scottish Queen, and it's also the end.
Okay. Okay.
One tries to make it a greater dramatic function with the chorus, whatever opera it is. This opera has a great deal of chorus music. Particularly in the last scene, it's the big final scene in the prayer, but also it's not so that they have so much action; it's to get the mood that's correct. Music is fantastic in the last scene, but I think that you need to underpin it dramatically with just small things, small moves. They don't have to be big, but, you know, they talk about, did you see the axe? You know, did you see the block? You know, how awful. The danger is that it could be a little bit perfunctory, I suppose, if you don't see a physical and mental reaction to that.
I feel myself really an opera conductor. I like conducting symphonic music, of course, but in opera I feel this is somewhere that where I can express 100% of my personality. When I start rehearsals with singers, I must confess I don't come too well prepared to what I will do. Of course, I know the piece, I know the style, more or less I studied before starting, but I don't want to be too prepared, because if I come with too strong ideas, I will not be flexible enough to create something that who knows what will be the result. I like to go through the piece, not by myself, but with my director, with my singers, and of course with my orchestra, with my chorus. Sometimes I like even to discuss, and sometimes I am ready even to change my ideas, because if the director convinces me that what he is doing works and it is correct historically and theatrically, okay, I am ready to say, you are right, I will change my mind. But everything must be open to what we think, we all think it is the best in that moment. And I think this is the reason because I usually have good relations with my directors and with my singers.
The most important thing for him is to create a beautiful work. Mm-hmm. And whatever way we have to do that, we'll get that done. And if that means that, you know, the tempo has to be slower for this singer as opposed to the way he originally envisioned it, perhaps, you know, all within a certain reason. But he's willing to really discuss it and create music together as an ensemble.
I try to put my singers in the best situation to give, to show what their best moments are and to hide what their weakest moments are. I think that's the way opera should be done. I know it's a personal philosophy, but I trust very much in this, and I'm glad that all my life I work this way.
Started working on the floor here, I thought, well, this is dramatically really strong, which is everybody says about Donizetti, or people, the critics of Donizetti say, well, that the music can be dramatically weak, and that it's nice music, nothing for people lovers of singing, but I think actually dramatically it's very strong. And, you know, I would urge people to try it, just like I had to.
Hero, 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 hero.
Almost like.
And then go like that.
I'm going to do it like this so I can control it.
That's sort of the idea. And I mean, if you're standing slightly up,
switch arms. Put your left arm on the bottom. Stand
slightly up, stage. That's it. Because it'll actually still look the same. So that when she does that, then swing, and it's like a continuing, then blackout.
And of course, if the blackout doesn't come.
Is there a soprano in the house?
Yeah, we talk, but mostly we just talk about boys and food.
Yeah, we talk a lot about food.
You know, the two very interesting things to singers.